everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a man who is confused about that last episode of The Mandalorian. I am joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are now obsessed with Transformers Tactical Arena.
It's a lot of fun, trust me.
I should play it. We are watching Trans Europe Express, episode 42 of season 2. Kids, as I was editing this episode, I realized I peppered our discussion with a lot of bits of trivia I found on TF Wiki and other sources.
So you're going to cut this intro short, right?
Please, I have to get ready for swim practice.
Nope.
Ah!
One more fact about Auggie Kanae.
No!
Yes. Auggie Kanae is mentioned in the American dub of the 2001 Robots in Disguise episode Skid's Choice. There, he is stated as having been deceased, and Skids is seemingly possessed by his spirit. Likewise, that episode features a race called the Europa 400, supposedly named after the Europa 2000 from this episode. Let me read a little more about this episode. Oh, this sounds very weird. Also, is Robots in Disguise streaming anywhere? Oh, wait, I found it on YouTube. Oh, we're watching this. Today's guest is Daryl Taylor. Daryl is the host of many podcasts, including Culture Trappin', No Apologies, and Gotham by Geeks. They can all be found on the Taylor Network of Podcasts. Kids, we got to get back to New York and meet up with some of our guests like Daryl and Gil. One day. Written by David Wise and airing on December 23rd, 1985, this is
Trans Europe Express.
Oh, dear.
All right, everybody, we are joined by Daryl Taylor. Daryl, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If you don't know, Daryl is the host of many podcasts. I've been getting back into, I love Culture Trappin', and I've been getting back into No Apologies, but what are some other podcasts that you're hosting these days?
I shrunk some of the numbers. I'm older now. Can't be staying.
What was the maximum tonight at one point? Do you know?
Oh, man, it probably was like 8 or 9 podcasts, probably. Yeah.
You have to do that thing 8 days a week.
It felt like
it's just like the Beatles sang about. You had to do it 8 days a week.
It felt like it after a while, but I had to shrink that down over the years. But now it's what I brought back because I took a break. I took a little bit of a break, and then I brought back Gotham by Geeks, which is a Batman-centric podcast, and then I brought back DC All-Stars, which is a DC Comics centric podcast. So that, and then there's one that I only do once a month, which is easy. It's JK's Happy Hour, where we pretend to have a guest in the bar, and I put the bar sounds in, and we just talk. we just talk about what the guest, you know, has been up to and whatnot. That's just casual, so that's easy. Like that's a quick, you know, you have a quick beer or something, and you just talk for an hour, and it's done. You don't have to do that again for another month. We're over it. But the Retro Movie Geek one I do, that's when we talk about movies 20 years or older. Yeah, that's not my job to do any editing or anything, which is the hardest part of this is the editing part. I don't have to touch that. All I have to do is just show up and say silly comments. And then, you know, as we talk about the movie, kind of like with this, but we just do it with a movie, you know, with an older movie, and just talk about the fun parts of it and all that and the craziness of some of these movies we pick. And then that's it. You know, my co-host has to worry about all that other stuff.
What's the last movie you covered?
Chud. That was the last one. Ooh. The original Chud. Yes. I don't know if that's up yet, but
I watched that once, probably going on 10 years ago.
Oh, Tubi's great for all that stuff.
Oh,
especially
yes.
Some of that old stuff. That's where I saw Chud on. They had it, they had it waiting on you on Tubi. So I was like,
and Chud, of course, stands for.
Don't make me remember that. I forgot already. Been so many.
Is it Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers?
Yes, I think that's what it was.
The cannibals under the streets in New York.
Yes.
What? Huh?
Yes.
It's a pretty fun. It was in the '80s, right?
Well, the first one was really straightforward. It was a straightforward horror movie. You had the evil businessman politician who was okayed them to put radioactive materials underground.
Why would you put radioactive stuff underground?
Because he's evil.
Oh, yes.
It was the '80s.
Evil
corporate businessman.
Yes, that is exactly the case. He just basically twirled a mustache throughout the whole movie.
You could either get Ninja Turtles or you could get Chuds.
And that's what it was.
Or Toxic Avengers sometimes.
Right. Only there was one Chud. They only had money for one.
There's only one?
Yeah. In the first movie, you only see it one time as well. Like, they didn't have money to show more than one Chud. It was more Chuds supposed to be in the movie, but they only had the money for one. So that was insane. And then the second movie.
Oh, that's right.
It turned into a comedy. It turned into a straight up comedy where these two guys, bumbling fools, get a Chud because they have this Chud in a facility, in an army military facility. They kidnap the Chud and then they start hanging out with it. Oh. And it's a whole adventure with the Chud and it's ridiculous. It's like if you liked the first movie and went to the second one, you will be surprised at what you see. Not the same. So it's just a crazy
kids. We got to go to Tubi after I finish watching Suburban Sasquatch.
Yes.
So in all of your podcasts that you've done, Daryl, have you ever covered the Transformers, like the cartoon? You
Retro Movie Geek. We did, if I remember right, we did Transformers the movie.
I think
one of those episodes. Yeah, I think that's what it was. I might have went on a tirade about Hot Rod.
Oh, yep. Well, we're leading up to that. We only have
Who? Oh yeah, who's Hot Rod?
Yeah, we don't know who this character is yet. We're going chronologically.
Just random person.
Yeah,
Transformer person.
Any importance?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just one of those. He just shows up out of nowhere, guys.
Yes, that's exactly what
it is. Yeah. They don't really have much to do. Maybe like a spotlight episode or something. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know, not to give anything away, but Bumblebee almost has a Hot Rod moment at the end of this episode. He strikes a very familiar pose.
He does. I caught that. Like, oh, no.
So, beside that, when you were growing up, were you into the toys at all? Or did you read the Marvel comic?
It's funny because I didn't get the legitimate toys. They were expensive. So
yes.
I lived in Flushing at the time when I was, you know, watching these. You know, we moved from Queens to, we were still in Queens, but we moved to Flushing. And in Flushing, they have it's a Chinatown area.
Oh, perfect.
And we went there and I would see Frenzy, but he would be Frenzy. He'd be something else. And I saw Jetfire, but he wasn't Jetfire. Mm-hmm. He was something that, like, different colors, different names. So I had like a version of Jetfire. I had a version of Frenzy. I had a version of what was the other one I had? I think the only legitimate one that I had, Transformer, that I was able to get is my mother bought me, I think it was Shockwave.
I think nice.
There's a pretty big gun there.
That's a good one to have.
Yes. I think that was the only like legitimate one that I had. Everything else was kind of like I would see it in a store in Chinatown and just would run and get it. And then I'd see it in the cartoon and be like, I have it. I mean, it's a different name, but I have it.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Still counts.
It still counts. And that would be our thing. But not a coworker. We were in school. A classmate of mine, his parents were pretty well to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought in his Transformers. He had Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
He had Jetfire.
That's when you know the parents are doing well.
Yes. He had Megatron. He had what was the other one? I think he had Ironhide. Mm. He had Bumblebee. Mm. He had He had all the cassettes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of them.
He had all the cassettes to go with Soundwave. He had, there's another one he had. I think he had, he also had, if I'm not mistaken, one of them. I think he had Sideswipe and he had Smokescreen. He might have had Sunstreaker. I think he did. I could have sworn he had it.
Yeah.
Had the two Countaches.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And that's Sideswipe and Sunstreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the one? The ambulance.
Ratchet.
Probably Ratchet.
Ratchet. He had Ratchet. That's right. It was insane.
Yeah, I know. I had a friend. I think it was like third grade, and I went over his house and went down the basement, and he had everything.
Oh. Like you're holding your tiny one, and then you go downstairs and like, and then you just drop it.
Yeah. Like, exactly. He lent me his Scorponok. He's like, sure, that's fine. And Scorponok, man. Well, we were going through an old toy catalog, I had the inflation adjustment website up.
And oh no.
Even back then, those were not cheap figures. Those
were when you could find them too, because that would be a problem also. They would only be in the store for a second. And if you didn't get there in time, it'd be gone.
Yeah.
Don't mind me just camping outside of what store?
Oh, the old Toys R Us. With the wood paneling.
Don't mind me just camping outside of Toys R Us until they open
the trick doors. is to befriend someone who works at Toys R Us, because that's the people that get the hard to find figures, because they would hold them. As soon as they came in, they'd take them right out of the box.
Never had a connection like that.
No, me either. Me either. Yeah, well, I mean, yes, but they still do it. With G.I. Joe toys, same problem. You go to get it and order it, and it's not there because somebody already put it to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we put the last available Jetfire to the side. You can have a plain water.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've been trying to shoehorn that in for the last few minutes. As soon as you mentioned Jetfire, like,
My friend has all of them though now. Like he's a collector of it now, and he has like the whole he has all of them. That Optimus Prime. I think he even has Galvatron, and like he has like a shelf. I'm gonna tell him to take another picture of it for me, and I'm gonna send you that, because he has so many, and I have to fight myself not to grab them and play with them all.
But they're loosen so, the like, joints. Those are
exactly old. No. Exactly.
They'll turn into flames before you know it.
Yeah, they're pushing 40, the original line. Yeah.
Yeah, he has those, and he has all the G.I. Joes, the original.
Yeah,
he still gets them. It's, my God, it's insane how many he orders. They just come through a shipment, and I'm friends with him and his wife, and she's like, I got a call for another delivery, and she thinks it's hers, and she's like, oh, it's one of your toys again. And it's a whole thing with them. But it's amazing. His collection is insane.
Yeah. We were at TFCon, a Transformers convention in Chicago in October. And, you know, we're fans. I've been fans since day one. But it's like, you just see the volume, the amount. It's a toy line that's almost never stopped.
Yeah. No.
And just the sheer volume of toys, it's overwhelming. That's why
it is overwhelming.
I get what I like, you know, like certain characters, but I'm not compelled to buy all of them because it's impossible.
You'll never get them all.
Me and my two freaking Soundwaves.
He won one.
Yes. Okay. Let me tell you the story. There was a good deal.
Quickly, if we get into the episode.
There was a good deal on a lesser known one. It was from, you know, the Bumblebee movie in 2018. Well, I started redecoing some figures, and that was one of them. It was a Soundwave. And I got second place in the costume competition, and I got a Soundwave there because they were giving them out for like for second and third places. And I was like, wow, another Soundwave.
Mm-hmm. I remember being in the audience, like Emmett's walking back to go get changed with it, holding it. I'm like, you already got one today, so you know. I love Soundwave. Can you be a little friend?
Speaking of forcefully getting things, that's
good Megatron's
plot in this episode.
Yeah, Yay. let's get into it. Let's get into Trans Europe Express. which I looked up, and Trans-Europe Express was actually the name of an international railway system in Europe. It was not a race.
Oh.
It was a train system that ran through Europe from 1957 to 1995. And also, it's the name of an album by the German band Kraftwerk, which, you know, most of their songs sound like they're sung by Transformers anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
And that particular song, I just kept going. It's like every new fact rolled out. But Trans-Europe Express, the song, that was the main sample in Afrika Bambaataa's Planet Rock. It kind of do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
So I know I was looking all this stuff up, and I'm like 2 minutes into the episode, but this is a pretty, there's a lot of setup in this episode for eventually becomes a race. But we begin with you know, casual Turkish stereotypes. we're in the middle of Istanbul, and Megatron and Soundwave are accosting just normal citizens, and they're looking for Abdul Ben Faisal, the greatest sage in Istanbul.
I like how Megatron is nice enough to drop them into like a bat, you know, like a whole thing of clothes or something. So
it was oranges.
Hurt themselves. Oranges, yeah, so they don't hurt themselves. That was so nice of him.
This is kind of a funny thing at first. Like Megatron is interrogating this guy and he's like, I'll never tell you who it is. And then Megatron shoots a hole in his floor. He's like, oh, he's 1024 Draymond Street behind the herb vendor next to the mosque of the Sultan Selim.
Thank you. How nice of you to give me the coordinates.
Are you just ignoring how he's wrapped in a rug first?
Yeah, Megatron wrapped him up in like a little...
Yeah,
neatly too.
Yep.
What I do to our dog? He's like, perfect. You stay here.
Yeah,
so Megatron, you know, never a fan of doors, breaking through walls. Yeah. And then he finds who he was looking for, the sage, Abdul Ben Faisal. And he's looking for the Pearl of Bahuddin.
The what?
Exactly.
The sage, he kind of gives it up right away. He says it's buried in the Galata Valley near the Alabe River. But he suggests that the pearl may be trouble if he finds it.
I guess that's why he gave it away.
Yeah.
Now Megatron's so angry. He busts through one more wall, and we see the shot of three broken through walls.
I know, he could have just gone out. He could have just gone out the hole that he made the first time. But yeah, he just
there was no opposition.
No.
Or you know, he could have just gone in from the other way.
Yeah.
No.
He has no time for that. Yeah.
So Megatron and Soundwave are in this valley, and boy, did we recognize what sound effect they used for Soundwave's sonic effect?
Can't put my finger on it.
It's just the Star Trek door, just over and over and over and over.
Pretty much.
And then they quickly decide that they can't find it without an archaeologist.
Well, let's go kidnap one. Let's go wrap him up in the blanket.
Well, we'll get to that.
Send out the dumbest cassette, Rumble, to find one.
Yeah. They eventually find it, but they have no explanation. This guy just shows up. Sure. But before we get to that, we are in Paris, where we see it's the beginning of the Europa 2000. And this is a race where an unnamed donor has offered $20 million to charity. It's a race from Paris to Istanbul, and the winning driver will win $1 million.
There's no way that this is possible. The donor must be named. I mean, they have to advertise somehow.
You would think.
Well, we'll find out in like the last 2 minutes of the episode.
Again, shoehorning it in.
Yeah, but in this race, the Autobots have decided to join. So Daryl, this is actually the second episode where the Autobots have raced for charity.
Yeah,
the other one was done maybe like 20 episodes ago in an episode called The Autobot Run.
Right.
It's quite a popular subject.
Yeah.
Wow. They are Autobots, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I do like how these, you know, million-year-old warring giant robots are really in it for the charity.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal for them.
They do what they can to help out the humans.
That's right.
But then we meet Augie Kinney.
Who's that?
He's this hotshot race car driver with an A on his chest. I wonder, does A stand for a-hole? Well, I was looking this up, and it said, an I'm taking this from a TF Wiki, but it says, according to writer David Wise, Augie Kinney's name, the last name Kinney is pronounced the same way as the Italian word for dog, which means that Augie Kinney is actually Augie Doggy, which is a old Hanna-Barbera character.
Oh,
dear.
So Wise admits to having no idea why he did this.
Right. No affiliation to racing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I kind of thought, was he from, he looked like a street racer character to me a little bit.
Oh, like Speed Racer?
I mean, Speed Racer, yeah. The way that his hair and stuff is and the suit.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of like 80s anime hair.
Mm-hmm. I love that hair, like that. That little edge on the side.
Yeah, the swoop.
Yeah, a little swoop.
Spiky swoops. Well, Augie Kinney, he is not a fan of the Autobots joining. He wants to win it on his own. And he's got this cool new car to win the race. It's built by Simultech. And it has an engine made out of advanced metal.
What kind of advanced metal?
They don't say. I did read in an earlier draft, it was actually, he just called it adamantium. Just straight up.
Oh. Wow.
But, which is... kids, do you know what adamantium is?
No.
No.
Oh, man. I've failed you.
I've heard it before.
Adamantium is the metal in Wolverine's claws.
Oh, yep. Oh. Yep, yep, yep,
and
yep,
his
yep.
skeleton. Yeah.
I've heard it before.
Yeah.
What?
Just didn't okay. come to mind.
We'll save it for our X-Men podcast.
No.
And funny thing. When Wheeljack was scanning the car, the block of blue, presumed to be the engine, was in the back.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Oh, then well. We see it being, then we see the front trunk, the hood, being rummaged through at the end of the episode.
Well, like a lot of high-performance vehicles like that, like Ferraris and Lamborghinis, the engine is actually in the back.
But I'm saying they were rummaging through the hood of the car.
Oh!
Later
oh,
in the episode.
Yeah, okay. So the Autobots joining the race, we have Blue Streak, Bumblebee, Wheeljack, Sunstreaker, Sideswipe, Trax, and Smokescreen. The firing pistol goes off, and the race begins under the Arc de Triomphe. And I do like how hard Bumblebee tries.
He's just a little... He's so small compared to all the other cars. He's just like, I can do it for the charity.
Yep.
Wheeljack, don't... Is that Wheeljack that's bullying him, or is that someone else?
No, it is Wheeljack, yeah, because Wheeljack says, you better keep this up at 2,000 miles.
Why is Wheeljack being so mean?
No, he's teasing.
Yeah, he is one to tease.
Yeah, he does that.
But you know who is being mean? Say it with me. Augie Kinney.
Yeah.
Yep, there we go. Passing him right up.
Well, before we move
charity
on,
I care about is my own.
That's right.
I made my own charity to donate to.
Me, my bank account.
Yeah.
Well, Wheeljack says that the race is about 2,000 miles, and he's pretty close. I pulled up Google Maps. It's about 1,700 miles, but the thing they don't talk about is that it's about a 29-hour drive.
Oh. I figured it would be a long... That's a long drive.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So and then you gotta get pit
stops. They seem to do it in, I don't know, like a couple hours. But these are high performance vehicles and Autobots. So you know, they could be going.
But you gotta
I mean,
go
they
pit
flew
stops
a couple
and...
times. Yeah,
yeah. So the race is on, and it looks like the Decepticons found their archaeologist. We have no explanation.
How'd the dumb one Rumble find an archaeologist?
Yeah.
He kind of just like called him up, like, hey. I need help. Megatron's gonna be mad at me. Save me.
Yeah, they just pull up this pendulette looking guy in a green suit, and his name is Professor Terra Nova.
I bet you he just yelled really loud in a crowd who is an archaeologist.
Yeah.
And they just pointed to this guy.
Do you want to fly to Istanbul?
Exactly. You want a free trip?
Oh, I'll yeah, sure. It. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
And he only has, like, just the most basic metal detector that you see guys, on the beach.
At the beach. Are you a licensed archaeologist?
Yeah, but this guy thinks thinks he found it. He gets handcuffed, but then he kind of frees himself right away.
Yeah, he found out, he found a way to use that machine to break the cuffs.
Yeah.
Why is that there? Why is there a lamp there?
Exactly. I was like, where did that come from?
But then you see him escape in the background.
I know how Megatron's running.
He's just like
his
climbing
mouth.
Up yep. the mountain.
And he just
he jumps up and just, you know.
Okay, now I know how Rumble managed to get him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man is a hiker.
Yeah. Oh,
he doesn't even need anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, he's good. He's got this.
The Decepticons find out that the Autobots are kind of coming toward them, and they send the Stunticons to take care of the Autobots.
Oh, those jerks.
Yeah. Now, this is the fourth episode in a row that we've seen the Stunticons, Daryl. They were introduced in, four episodes ago, and... You know, Devastator's out. He's old news.
Yeah.
He's now dead. We got the new hotness of Menasor. Well, the Stunticons who turn into Menasor.
Right.
So they've been pushing them very hard. Back to the race. Augie Kane runs Bumblebee off the road, but then he hitches a ride on top of Blue Streak.
Like this, this isn't cheating.
And then they cut him off, and Bumblebee pulls Augie out of his car.
I know. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Just telling him to just be nice. Stop being a jerk.
Hey, you, be nice. And he drops him, and he runs back in his car, and he drives away.
It's like a little kid. He just jumps down and just says, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if that car has ever been referenced in any other media.
I looked it up if you know, Augie Kane appeared in some IDW book or some Japanese thing, and it doesn't look like he ever comes back.
Not even a sick car?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that is one thing about Transformers is they will just have a character in it, and you feel like the character is important, and then they just disappear, and they never use it again.
Yeah, we could make an ever-growing list of one-off characters that seem to be very cool.
Yeah, they could do a comic on one-off characters.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, I've thought about it. The race gets the Indiana Jones kind of red line across the map of Europe treatment.
Switz.
With a very misspelled, not very accurate map of Europe.
Switz.
Oh, yeah. Romania. Yeah, Swiss.
What, they were going to sue them if they used the right?
Yeah. Oh, then we have Sideswipe and Sunstreaker.
The Countaches.
Yeah. And they get surrounded by the Stunticons. And Wild Rider just flies into the air. And he takes
Where'd
a shot
come from?
Into Commercial One.
Yeah, they're not very good at being security. The whole point of them is, right, to be security. Looking for the Decepticons, and they just get blindsided the entire race.
Yes. But I appreciate this one because when the Stunticons were introduced, they specifically mentioned they had like an indestructible hull, mm-hmm. and that they have like anti-gravity things where they could just almost fly off the road. And then the episode we just watched, they forgot about that completely. They were actually... They were chumps. They got taken out quite easily.
Yeah, it happened. So they remembered this stuff.
I think it's the same writer that introduced them, David Wise. I think he wrote their introductory episodes. So they're back to being pretty formidable, right. Including Motormaster, who's taking on Wheeljack. And he's just like flying over cliffs and, you know, doing 180 turns on this, you know, no guardrail, just on the side of a mountain road.
With a trailer?
Oh, yeah.
My word.
I know, and it was faster than the smaller car. I was like, yep. Wow, that's a fast truck.
It is, yeah.
Are there engines in the trailer?
I don't know, but Motormaster's always, it's a cool design. I love his color scheme.
I know, and fun fact, the trailer is part of his robot, so...
Oh yeah, he doesn't get the Optimus treatment. It doesn't vanish. That's part of him.
So it's filled with mechanics. That's why it's so fast.
And heavy, because he flies off a cliff and lands right on Wheeljack, just smashing him into a pancake.
Aww. He's alive, though.
Yeah, he just goes, ow.
Ouch.
Aching back.
Yeah. Let's see, Wild Rider and Drag Strip take out Smokescreen. And then we have Blue Streak, who's kind of, he kind of holds his own a little more than the other guys. And he manages to escape.
I like how you tricked him, but I'm like, you didn't think to look up, though?
Yeah. Yeah, he rides on the back of one, and then, yeah, doesn't he, he kind of runs him into a mountain.
Yeah, all he did was just jump up and grab the cliff.
Yeah.
And just hangs there while he drives. I'm like, you why didn't you transform and look around first?
Oh, yeah, he's hanging there, and then he just backs up.
That's all he did. He's like, that ought to take care of him. That's what he says, and then he just drives off.
But then Blue Streak, he finds the archaeologist Terra Nova, who's in really rough shape.
Like he's like flat on the ground, face down, and he looks up and he notices the Autobot symbol. He's like, oh, you are an Autobot. You must help me. And then he's just like, what?
His clothes are all torn.
He's tired jumping off those cliffs up and down. He's tired.
Like if he gets up to the top and then he jumps down.
If this is compressed time, like you have no idea how long he's been wandering in the mountainous
terrain. Doing this for 20 hours now.
Yeah.
Just running and up and down hills and cliffs and stuff.
Blue Streak saved his life.
Yeah, he was going to die.
Yep. Oh, but Terra Nova, he does have the wherewithal to tell Blue Streak about the Pearl of Bahudeen. Does he tell the other Autobots about it?
Yeah, remember they radio. I think they radio in.
Yeah, he radios Trax and Bumblebee, the only two left.
And they're like, "What are we supposed to do?"
Yeah,
it's only us. Nobody calls for backup either.
Yeah, this is an Optimus Primeless episode.
One of only a few.
I think there's four episodes pre-movie, I think, that he's not featured in. Mm-hmm. This may be the last. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't have time. He had to shoot. He had some shoots and stuff he had to do.
Yeah.
For the movie. So he didn't have time to be on set.
Oh, and then we meet back up with Augie Kinney, who's very far in the lead now. But then the Stunticons stop him. He doesn't have locks on his car, does he?
No.
Bumblebee pulls him out. The Stunticons pull him out, and they carjack. They grab his they grab his experimental car, put him in the back of Motormaster, and apparently Megatron needs that car. And then we go to commercial two with Scavenger at the bottom of a hole, and he says that he found something glowing. So Megatron, his plans coming together. He has the car, and he may have the Pearl of Bahudeen. And his eyes glow red going into commercial two.
How sinister.
And then we come back to commercial two, and then Blue Streak finds Augie. Again, he's very good at finding humans that are just stranded in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
What happened to this one?
Yeah, he was in the middle of the road, and then Augie being... For having his life saved, he's not very thankful.
Yeah.
He wants to take control of Blue Streak.
Yeah, he's like, open the door, let me in. I'm going to drive because you Autobots who are cars, when you transform, it is you. It is your whole body.
Yeah.
You don't know how to drive.
Well, yeah, I mean, he even drops a you people.
Yeah,
like, I'm helping you people stop the Decepticons.
We are even people.
Yeah.
That doesn't work on us. We're not even people.
Yeah. He's like, I'm getting my car back. I don't care about all this. I'm just getting my car back.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, also, did you just call Autobots not people? You opened a whole new can of worms there. Let's move on.
See, Dad.
And I eat the worms. Nom, nom. What?
So we're already at the end of this supposedly 29-hour race. Trax and Bumblebee. He made it to the end, but then in the middle is Augie driving Blue Streak, and the announcer sees him coming. Is this the same announcer that was in Paris?
Oh, no, he took a plane, probably.
Yeah.
No, it was a different person.
I think it was a different guy, yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's kind of Clark Kent looking.
Yeah.
But where are the other human drivers?
Right.
I mean, there were a surprising lack of guardrails on the road. So,
right.
Yeah, we only focused on the Autobots, but
it's funny because there are a lot of Autobots that transform when the race starts. Right when they get ready to go, look like a lot of them. when they mm-hmm. were transforming. And it's like, but who's in the race? What human is in the race?
There's a significant amount of cars, but yeah, we don't see them. Maybe
they're gone.
Yeah, the Stunticons just drove them all off the cliffs.
Yeah, they probably just crashed just all those cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Augie pulls ahead and he wins the race, the Europa 2000, but then all three of them just keep driving, which befuddles the announcer. He's like, oh, well, I guess
I'll interview someone later. Yeah. I guess they'll come back.
They pull up from the hole. This is the Pearl of Bahudin, which I don't know.
Are the jewels really necessary? We later learn that this is just a coating. So.
Yeah, yeah. This is just a shell, which is better because at first I'm like, oh, that it looks.
It's ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's bedazzled. Respected standards.
It's ugly.
Yeah. It's a gold ball that looks like it was kind of bedazzled by like a 6-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It's got jewels all over it, and but Megatron seems pretty happy.
Like, yes, this looks like an arts and crafts
thing. Yeah, it does. But just in time for the Autobots to show up, only three of them, and then Megatron has some story time. He explains that the Pearl of Bahudim is a power core to a Cybertronian weather-controlling machine.
Whoa.
Which was on board their ship.
Right.
Well,
they had weather machines on the ship, huh?
Yeah.
Well, not quite. Because it does land in a jungle, not the ocean.
Okay. But I went back. I know this was an issue before. So the Decepticon ship that's in the ocean is the one they built in More Than Meets the Eye. That's not this ship. This ship is the Nemesis. They were flying this, then they boarded the Ark, and then they all crash landed into the volcano. So this is the ship that crash lands in South America that the Insecticons ejected from. And this is what they find later on.
Oh, this is the Insecticon one. Oh.
Yeah.
Because it was
a bit unclear, Daryl, when we were watching this. Like,
yes, it was.
Yeah, because it's weird because the ship looks exactly the same as the one that's in the ocean, but that's right. A rebuilt one. This is their original ship that crashed. This is one that shows up in Beast Wars later.
This one?
Yes.
I thought about Beast Wars.
I thought the Ark lands in the mountain.
Yeah, but this one lands in the jungles. This is the one that the Insecticons... we're in. This is one like the archaeologist with the blue hair.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. Ship. But didn't they bring up the Nemesis from the ocean?
Oh, I just want to watch the episode.
Enough Beast Wars. This is G1.
Yeah, yeah. This is a couple million years ahead. So can we just keep going, please?
If we're wrong, listeners, email us. We dare you. But I think I'm right. I did go back on TF Wiki and made sure. But the Pearl was ejected. And was dug up in the 14th century, oddly enough.
I don't know why in this spot they're just like, I sense money.
These guys just dig a hole in their street and they crack it open. And then
with the casing still on it.
Yeah. And it creates this lightning storm. And they said a Persian seer built the gold shell to a... I know when they dig it up, it has a shell on it. Whoops. But this is supposed to be a protective shell built by a great Persian seer.
And what's with the gems?
Just looks cool.
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
Megatron plans to use that. He's going to melt down the engine in Augie's car because that is the type of metal that will it'll be able to withstand the power of the Pearl. And then he can rebuild his weather controlling device. And I love this shot where... Megatron's face is superimposed over like a destroyed Earth with lightning. I love self-satisfied Megatron. He's like,
this plan may actually work.
And then Soundwave's just in the background like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Of course it will for you.
It will.
Of course. Because you are Megatron.
Not like the previous 40 times.
But the remaining Autobots attack. And Augie even gets into it. Augie like pulls out a flamethrower out of his car and starts torching one of the Constructicons.
He's got a lot of stuff in that car.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you have in there?
Maybe that was his NOS. He had like the the Fast and Furious canister.
That makes sense.
And then Bumblebee flies up onto Megatron, and Megatron has zero reaction time. He's not moving. Or maybe Bumblebee was just so fast that it looks like Megatron's standing still, but he drives up his leg, transforms, and he steals the pearl.
He just quicksilvered.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Quicksilver or Sane.
And then Bumblebee cracks open the pearl, and yeah, this is where he kind of strikes the Transformers the movie pose.
Yes, he does.
Holds it up over his head.
I was thinking Luke Skywalker, but you know.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. Yeah, the heroic holding it over your head, and he opens up, he creates a swirling lightning storm. And animation-wise, I think this is pretty cool, because it's a detail that maybe some studios would not commit to, but like this whole final fight is in the middle of a storm, so you have
it's pretty cool. It looks like anime.
But yeah, it's a good touch. It kind of gives extra stakes to this episode, or the final fight, because now you have Menasor, and he's fighting against the three Autobots trying to get the pearl back,
and he's just beating the crap out of them.
Oh yeah, yeah, he does a he slams the ground, which opens up a crack in the ground, which makes the shell of the pearl cracks open, and then it flies up into a tornado.
And then Megatron and Sam are ever just looking at it like,
let's go.
We need to do something about this. How about we just leave? I love your thinking. Let's go.
Yeah, well, Megatron changes his plan. He's like, well, we'll let Menasor take care of the Autobots, but let's go back to our undersea base and we'll just let the storm go.
We'll watch the news.
We'll watch the news. We'll see that the weather storm will wipe out humanity, and then we'll come back out.
Yeah, we'll come out and hang out after it's all done.
It's not a bad plan.
No, not the worst.
It's the most justified retreat that Megatron's done in a while.
Oh, for sure.
And then the Autobots, they try to bury Menasor. They fire the rocks underneath his feet and bury him, but not for long. And then who saves the day but Augie? He gets his car back, and then he drives it off a cliff right into Menasor's face. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But he jumps out of the car too. Again, very Fast and Furious style.
Oh, for sure. It's something that the car is made out of something special, right?
At least the engine is.
The engine is. They need the engine.
Just weird how the car could crash and knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
Menasor out, but them shooting him. I know, but them shooting him lasers couldn't do it.
Well, car to the face.
Always does it, honestly. If you're ever in doubt, take your car and just hit someone in the face with it.
It looked like they blew his head to pieces, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Bumblebee, he's quite the VIP this episode, I think. He races to the end.
Oh, he was always like that hero, especially in the early seasons.
Yeah.
He was the kid who, could, risk his life every time.
Mm-hmm. But he jumps into the tornado.
Yeah.
And he finds the pearl and he blasts it.
One catches him.
But first he kind of hovers in the air, kind of Wile E. Coyote style.
Yeah. Two frames, he just goes, doot, 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 and then falls.
Yeah.
He falls into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Bumblebee, are you okay? Yeah, I feel like a lost kite, though.
Yeah, I know.
But he's fine. He got him down. Just had to call the fire department.
At the last minute, they figure out that the entire race was a ruse.
Oops.
See, that's an episode I want to watch. It's like Megatron like coordinating this race, like hiring
announcers.
Did he
just do a different voice? Did he just go, I'm Smegatron, and I'm going to give, $20 million for the race.
But like he had to, build the bleachers for the crowd. He had to
build the track.
So many permits. I want to see him pulling permits.
Oh, he did. Those calls are crazy.
Yeah.
I actually still have all the paperwork over here.
Yeah.
Let me go.
Soundwave kept getting put on hold.
Yeah.
And he was trying to call. Push the button.
Yep.
He's all mad about it.
So Yeah, but the entire race was a whole scam just to try to get Augie's car. So there's no money for charity. But then Augie, who now has had a complete change of heart.
For no reason.
Yeah, no reason. He's like, you know what? He said, I should keep this thing, the pearl shell. And he's like, I'll give it to you, and then you can sell it.
Yeah.
And then you can give that money to charity.
Right.
And then he just walks off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Is he going to walk to Turkey? Or
he has no car. He's, I don't know.
I feel like it should be like a Godzilla movie, and you have Bumblebee yelling for him. Like, come back. Come back. And they play the music. That music going.
Yep.
And here's one of my favorite parts in the episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The announcer's single guy still there. It's nighttime.
Can someone bring us some dinner?
Yeah. No one's left.
No.
Just waiting to interview the winner. And then he's like, I'm hungry. Someone want to go grab us some dinner? And on that note, that's the end. That's the end of Trans Europe Express.
Yeah.
So, Daryl, as our guest, we rate these episodes 1 out of 10 Energon cubes. So you can get to go first. What did you think of Trans Europe Express?
It was fun. It was a funny episode too, because you know, so many. It's like they were the worst security force in the beginning because they had getting tricked. They were like the worst security that you could have. But it was a cool Bumblebee-centric episode. I don't think you see, I don't think the rest of them get lines after this for a while. Some of the ones that started, you know, some of the Autobots.
Yeah, they get run off the road and don't really come back.
Yeah, they don't come back, so they're just gone. Like, it's a showcase for the fast cars, though. Mm-hmm. It's like a nice little showcase for them.
Wonder if any of them don't appear in the movie and just never appear again.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a good question.
There's still like 6 or 7 for us to go before we get to the
movie. Yeah, we got a while. We got a little bit.
Did you give a number yet?
Oh, no, I didn't. I would give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emmett, how about you go next?
I would give it a 7. Mm-hmm. Good episode. Overall, it was fun. Yes, fun. I'm sick of the Stunticons, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope we take a break from them. Elsa, what did you think?
I say 6.5, so I'm in the middle.
Okay.
I think I like the race part of it, but again, I don't like that it's the Stunticons again. Stop. Give it a break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just stop it. It's simple.
They were put to better use in this episode, though.
Yeah, it was better than the other ones.
They were a little more formidable.
Yeah. Well, this is the perfect thing for them to be in this, right?
Exactly,
hiding in, you know, with no other Decepticons could have did this.
Right, yes. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the tank, but, you know.
No, not a 29-hour race across Europe.
Hold on, oh my gosh, he's coming.
Imagine if Warpath was in the race. Just a giant tank just going down the streets of Europe.
Just tearing up the streets of Paris. I'll go 7. It's a lot of fun. It's a pretty breezy episode. And, you know, the story, Megatron always has his gadget of the week. But I like how it was so convoluted that he needs the metal from this car to get this thing that was from the original Decepticon ship. Like, it needlessly complicated, but it kind of worked. And in the middle of it, you have a fun transcontinental race. And again, Bumblebee, who we really haven't seen too much lately because they've been highlighting other newer characters and toys. He was pretty fun. Always a good Bumblebee episode. So yeah, I enjoyed it. Definitely better than last episode. So Daryl, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun going back and rewatching the episode.
Do you have anything Anything to plug? Anything coming up? Anything we should be watching? Or, we're not a Yellowstone house, but, maybe one day we'll...
Well, it's all about the ranch life with me. But I do. I don't know if the kids would be able to watch that, but I really love The Last of Us, the series. It's such a good series.
Yeah, my wife and I are watching it, yeah.
It is really, really good.
I wanna watch it. I've heard good things about the game because I like video games. So I don't know.
It makes me want to play the video game now.
It makes me want to play it too. I want to watch a walkthrough and then watch the show to see how accurate it is.
I did pull up a walkthrough, which, you know, that will save us buying a PS5. But
no.
What do you mean?
I mean, okay.
Yeah. But I was kind of
going back. Gale has one already.
But yeah, I was kind of tracking through it a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, I remember this scene from the show. From what I've heard, it's actually very accurate, which is, that's pretty cool.
Well, I listened to the HBO official podcast, and it has the actor who played Joel in the game. He interviews the showrunners, and they are the people that do the story for the game.
Yeah.
So it's very, you know, that's why it works so well, and it's so accurate with a lot of stuff because of that.
Yeah, and even as me, as you know, I've never played the video game. It's a very well made show. It's very good.
Oh yeah, it's very thoughtful. For it's like, oh yeah, there are creatures, zombie like creatures you're supposed to be scared of. Like, you forget sometimes in an episode because there's so much character stuff going on.
Yeah, it's not a full on zombie show.
No,
they take their time, and then all of a sudden you got a mushroom man chasing you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
exactly.
Mushroom Men.
Well, I gotta watch this show.
Yeah,
it's called Super Mario Brothers. Play it sometime.
A little bit.
Oh, did you see the SNL parody, the Mario Kart?
No, not yet.
Oh yeah, Pedro Pascal plays Mario, and they do like a Last of Us as Mario Kart.
It's so funny.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Did you watch him do the lie detector test thing they do with the celebrities sometimes?
I've seen a clip of it. Yeah,
because he's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's such a goofball, but he plays such serious characters, and he's just a goofball in real life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's about it. Thanks again for joining us. And what do we have next? We have War Dawn. I think this is a flashback episode. Oh. See the origins of Optimus Prime.
Oh yeah.
And I think the aerial bots are back, Emmett. So
yes, they are. I know.
I think the Stunticons may take a rest, and we'll get back to the new Autobot combiner team, the aerial bots.
Oh, thank Primus.
It's always funny how they're like, you know what? We're getting tired of being shot at from the sky. Let's just build some.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week on an all new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.